Hello again, everybody. Welcome in to That SEC Podcast, along with Michael Bratton, SEC Mike. I'm Cody McClure, back with you again here for our ninth episode of the podcast. It's been a fun ride so far, and this is the late week podcast, so you know what that means. It is prediction time for week two. Lots of intriguing games involving SEC teams, so we'll get right to it. Mike, how's it going tonight, my man?
Oh, I'm doing well. You know, this week just kind of flew by thanks to the Sunday and Monday night games of last week. It's going to be a little bit of a letdown this week with just games on Saturday, but, you know, it's almost here, so I'm ready to get to it.
Yeah, it really doesn't seem like it should be week two yet because, I mean, we had games all through Monday, and then, you know, you got the NFL kicking off Thursday night, and so it's like it really has been sort of a short week, but I'm not complaining. It's good to be here in week two. So
yeah, and I think the most interesting thing about this weekend, you know, there's obviously kind of a drop off in terms of marquee matchups like there was last week, but I think this week will give us a really good indication, you know, to start seeing which of these teams are going to be legitimate contenders moving forward.
See, I think this week's matchups, like, I really think you have better matchups as a whole this week. It's just that you have more that are glaring, like, you know, the weak opponents that are in some of the lower tier games. Like, you have way more FCS opponents, it seems like, but you still got some pretty solid matchups.
Yeah, and in a previous episode, you know, we kind of touched on the teams that have the most to gain this week. Well, the most to gain and the most to lose heading into a weekend. So I thought it would be interesting if we kind of touch on that. And I don't know what your thoughts are, but in my opinion, the team that has the most to gain this weekend in the SEC is Georgia. And the reason I say that, I think, you know, there's still some lingering doubts with some people, including myself, on whether this team is a legitimate SEC contender, and some even would put them up in a national contender range. I'm, you know, surely wouldn't go that far, but some have, and I think if they go on the road and they beat a Notre Dame team that's currently ranked 24 in the nation, I think that's going to tell us a lot about this team moving forward.
I would contend that Auburn has, without a doubt, the most to gain this weekend because, yes, Georgia's going on the road to Notre Dame, but maybe I just don't view that as big of a win, maybe as you do. I haven't been able to buy into Notre Dame for the last few years, really, because they're overhyped every year. And since they got manhandled by Alabama in, 2012, I mean, that was really the last great year that Notre Dame had. And so to me, that one just, I don't know how much substance that one's going to entail, right? Like, you remember Texas last year, they beat Notre Dame. And, of course, the famous line, you know, Texas is back, folks. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. At South Bend, I do think Notre Dame, obviously, one of the greatest programs in college football history. So it is a marquee program win. But I just don't know how good that Notre Dame team is yet. Auburn, on the other hand, going on the road to Clemson, I think if Auburn wins that game, it would automatically make Auburn a legitimate national championship threat and a threat to Alabama. So I think Auburn has the most to gain.
Yeah, and I could see that. I think that's an easy argument to make. But in my mind, I just haven't seen enough from Kirby Smart and his staff. I haven't seen them really win a big game outside of Auburn last year, and I think more or less they won that Auburn game because of Auburn's injuries, not because of anything outstanding they did. And I think it'll tell me a lot about Jake Fromm. He's still more or less an unknown, and if he can go on the road in his first career start, come away with a win, that team will just kind of have opened their eyes, in my opinion, because I think they have the defense to make some noise, but I'm still not sure about that offense. So very interested to see that matchup.
So what about the team with the most to lose this weekend? Because I think you've got some interesting prospects here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm tempted to go with either one of the South Carolina and Missouri loser, but I think the team with the most to lose is Arkansas. And the reason I say that It's because they beat TCU last year. So I think some people would automatically assume if they lose to TCU at home, it's kind of like taking a step back. There's some doubts there on whether the direction of Brett Bielema's program. And I think, you know, if they drop that game, then they go into a bye week and they go into that critical Texas A&M game. I'm not sure where their psyche will be. I really think they need to go 2-0 heading into that bye week to finally get over that Texas A&M hump.
How about Texas A&M? Speaking of a lot to lose, I mean, I'm not really serious on this one, but you do remember last year, Nicholls State kind of gave Georgia all it wanted in week one. So I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that would definitely be a lot to lose there for the Aggies in that game. But, you know, I think you're right about Arkansas, and I would probably tend to lean with that one as well. But just to play it a little bit differently here, how about Mississippi State going on the road to Louisiana Tech, a pretty solid opponent out of the Conference USA? They got to play them on the road. I think the line on that one was only like 6.5, 7.5. So I think Vegas at least is expecting probably a competitive game there. So if Mississippi State, who comes into this year with a better defense, looks to be quite improved, if they were to drop that game somehow, I think that would really hurt the Bulldogs.
Yeah, and I could see that. You know, this Louisiana Tech team, they took Arkansas to the wire last year, led by Skip Holtz. So I believe last year they won 9 games. This is not going to be an easy game for Mississippi State. And as you noted, you know, if they drop this game, that's going to seriously halt the momentum that MSU has going into that LSU game next week.
Talking about teams with a lot to lose, what about, in your opinion, what about Florida and the Gators game being canceled versus Northern Colorado? Would you view that more as a loss for Florida or a win for Florida? Because it seems like at this time in the season, you know, we're talking week two here, I feel like you'd rather have the reps than you would the rest. If it were week 8 and you hadn't had a bye week, I think you would welcome it. But right now, I feel like maybe that hurts Florida more than it helps.
Yeah, I mean, they're not battling a ton of injuries. They've got one of their best secondary players, Chauncey Gardner. He's fighting a nagging injury. But outside of him, you know, they don't have a lot of guys they need to rest at this point. They've got a lot of serious questions on offense, obviously, going up against Michigan. But I think when they go in, judging from what we've seen from Tennessee thus far, I mean, that's going to be the perfect cure for a poor offense because, I mean, Tennessee couldn't stop a cold last weekend. And, you know, going in the swamp, I think that'll be a storyline for sure, especially with Tennessee having 2 games under their belt and Florida only having 1. I do think that's an edge for Tennessee, but I think it's going to be slightly overstated. I just think given enough time to prepare, I think that kind of negates anything the advantage Tennessee will have. I just don't think it's going to be a huge factor.
And you've been watching that series long enough, you know, as I have, especially the last 15 years or so. Like any kind of edges or advantages in that game that Tennessee could have, it's not going to matter come game day. That's going to be a good football game. So, I don't know if it hurts Florida a lot this weekend not playing or if it will help them, but I suppose we'll see when Florida plays Tennessee.
Yeah, and I could easily see Tennessee having, you know, a wave of momentum. Let's say they beat Indiana State by 50, whatever, and, you know, they got all of Florida players get suspended, maybe even some more, and then I could see the opening kickoff being returned for a touchdown for the Gators and them just having the momentum the whole game. That's just kind of the way that series goes.
That's true. That's very true. So I suppose we should get into some picks for this week. You want to start out with the noon games? I mean, a couple of snoozers there, really.
Yeah, 2 games here, Eastern Kentucky at Kentucky. That game I actually don't have a line for. I've not been able to locate lines for these FCS games. But, you know, this is one we kind of touched on last episode. I'll be really curious to see what Kentucky does in this game. They kind of sleepwalked, I thought, a bit when they went up against Southern Miss. They need to show me a little something. You know, obviously, I don't expect them to lose this game, but if they continue to struggle early in the season, that's not a great sign heading into SEC play the following week at South Carolina.
Yeah, I just, to be honest with you, I don't know much to say about this one. It's just hard to, you're talking about Eastern Kentucky here. There's not much that Kentucky could do here to screw this one up, unless they just came out and just did not play. If they came out and they just weren't awake, and I think that would be bad for Kentucky fans and for morale for the team. So you want to see Kentucky come out, just take care of business. Get out of there with your 49-3 or whatever, and move on to your SEC games.
Yeah, I got not much else to say. Except I think Mark Elder's their coach there. He used to be the special teams coordinator at Tennessee, so I expect to see some outstanding special teams from Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah, that's true.
The other noon game, we got UT Martin traveling down to Ole Miss, and I think it's going to be more of the same what we saw last week. Ole Miss just completely overmatched South Alabama with their receivers and Shea Patterson just lighting it up. I think this is going to be even worse. I believe Ole Miss beat this team 76-3 2 years ago. So I don't expect much of a fight here.
Yeah, I remember that it was 76-3. It's funny you bring that up. I don't know why UT Martin wants to go to Oxford and play this game again. I guess they're getting a pretty good check out of the deal. If Ole Miss has any money left after all the everything they've been going through. But yeah, this is not going to be a game. At least it shouldn't be. If it is, Ole Miss has huge problems. So yeah, again, 56-0, probably something like that.
And what about 3 o'clock game, Indiana State, Tennessee? Anything there catching your eye?
Not really. I just want to see Tennessee come out and this, as the two games we just mentioned, same situation here. Indiana State has no chance of beating Tennessee, but you want to see Tennessee come out and play well, as opposed to getting out like a 24-7, and you just look sloppy all day. I think about North Texas a couple of years ago, but even for Tennessee, at least North Texas was an FBS opponent, right? Indiana State is known for nothing besides Larry Bird, and that is irrelevant to the game. So, again, you just want to, same story to me with Tennessee, Kentucky, Ole Miss, all of these teams that play the FCS schools this weekend. You want to see them come out, play well for a half, get the young guys some reps, and get out of there.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I can think in this game, the key for Tennessee is, something that's been biting them for several years in a row is, just stay healthy. Like, I don't even think I would play John Kelly in this game. And I mean, that's no disrespect to Indiana State, but I don't think they need him to win. And they rode him pretty hard against Georgia Tech. I just, I don't see the value in risking a player like that. Might as well get the young backs, significant carries, just see what they can do because I think that's an issue Tennessee has right now. If they do have a big issue, is they're going to rely on a lot of young talent this year, and I think they did a poor job managing, rotating the offense and defense, especially the defensive line. So I don't think they really know what they have in a lot of their backups right now. So this is a game where they really need to figure that out.
Yeah, I think you're seeing Tennessee play this fairly conservatively right now. Shy Tuttle's not going to play. They're not going to get him, not going to risk him getting hurt. I know Austin Smith probably not going to play. They're sitting some guys out who have kind of lingering issues going on, and they're not going to play those guys in this game. But I'm totally with you, though. I would be all for them even sitting out guys like John Kelly and Marquez Calloway. I imagine we will see those guys at least early in the game, but they're not going to need them.
Now, do you know anything about Alabama A&M? They're traveling down to Vanderbilt.
Well, I know that Alabama A&M is located in Huntsville, Alabama, because when I was about 10 years old, and I went down there with my grandparents one time and saw NASA and all that kind of stuff, and I remember driving by their football field and taking pictures of it. Other than that, I don't know a single thing about Alabama A&M, so other than that it exists. So again, I would expect Vanderbilt to roll here. I'm interested to see how well Vandy's defense plays. I thought that they did a really good job last week against MTSU, holding Stockstill to 166 passing yards. So I'll be interested to see if they can shut them out.
Yeah, my main takeaway from this game will just be the performance of Kyle Shermer. You know, he had an outstanding debut this year. He played well against Tennessee, and I was really impressed with him at SEC, the media days down there. He came and he just seemed like a guy that had it figured out. So I'll be curious to see if he has that again. They host Kansas State next week, so that's going to be a big game. So he needs to continue that momentum if the Commodores have any chance of beating Kansas State.
Yeah, and props to Vanderbilt for finally getting a little momentum going, because for Vandy to start off 1-0 last week, and I mean, barring some kind of a disaster, they're going to be 2-0. Derek Mason has not had an early season start like that. I mean, they lost the season opener in his first three seasons in Nashville. So, I'm interested to see Vanderbilt get off to a hot start in this game and be really intrigued by that Kansas State game next week.
All right, we got two more snoozers on the schedule here. Both one's at 6 and one's at 6:30. Nichols at Texas A&M. We kind of touched on that a little bit. You know, I'll be curious to see how the A&M defense responds. You know, they got lit up. I don't think Nichols has any Josh Rosen on their squad, though.
No, I don't believe that they do. But they, you know, they did give Georgia a bit of a scare last year in week one. But it's hard to just point to that, right, and say, you know, that they would be capable of doing that again. However, things are looking kind of gloomy for Texas A&M right now. But, you know, Mike, we're 1 week into the season. I don't want to overreact too much. And so I think Texas A&M, this is the kind of game they should win. I could see A&M winning this game like 66 to, you know, 17 or something like that. It just seems like one of those A&M games. But I'll be pulling for the Aggies here because, I mean, man, some of the stuff we've seen this week with Kevin Sumlin has just been – but it's been rough. I can't imagine what it's like for him. So, you know, A&M should roll.
Yeah, in this game and next week they play Louisiana Lafayette. I think, you know, the only two keys from both those games for me would just be see which quarterbacks they play. I assume it's going to be Kellen Mond. Just see his development. They've got to get him ready to go in a couple weeks against Arkansas. So I'll be interested in seeing that. We may see Jake Hubenak. Maybe he's the guy. If he is, I don't know. They may have like a dual system where one guy's the thrower, one guy's the runner. That'll be my main takeaway from this one.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether or not it will be a dual system or if they'll play, you know, if one will be like first half, one will be second half. I'm not sure how that's going to work. But I do remember reading earlier this week that someone said that they would be playing two quarterbacks.
Speaking of quarterbacks, in the next game, Chattanooga at LSU, that's at 6:30. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Chattanooga quarterback is the former Mississippi State backup, Nick Tiano. He was in competition with Nick Fitzgerald last fall, lost the job out, so he's down at UTC. And, you know, good luck to him. BYU didn't cross the 50 on LSU, and I'm not sure Chattanooga will either.
Yeah, I remember that name from Mississippi State, but I had no idea he was at Chattanooga now. So, you know, learn something new every day. But yeah, once again, I hate to keep saying the same thing about every game, but yeah, this is a snoozer. I mean, unless LSU, you know, you shut out BYU. Good start for Coach O and the boys there, you know, shutting out BYU. This should be a game that LSU comes out and wins 42-0, 45-0, something like that. So, yeah, it's Chattanooga. What more can we say?
All right, let's get to the meat of the schedule then. We got this one might be a little bit more entertaining. Fresno State at number one Alabama. That's at 2:30. And the only reason I say it could be interesting, obviously we expect Crimson Tide to roll in this one, but I don't know if you're aware, Fresno State currently has the number one rushing defense in the nation. So that's going to be put to the test this week. But I believe the spread.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I believe the spread in this one is 43.5. And I've got Alabama 45, Fresno State 9.
Yeah, it's, gosh, with a number being that so big, being so big like that, Fresno State, a much more respectable program than some of these FCS teams we've been mentioning. At least they're Division One, but at the same time, like you're talking about Alabama here, 43.5 is a really big number. So I don't know that I would take it myself, just because I could see a 49-7 type game here, and you know Alabama typically they're going to run it in the second half in these games. They're not the type of team to keep throwing the ball downfield. That you don't see Alabama usually win, you know, 70-7. Their games are usually in the 40s, maybe 50 something at most. So I don't know that I would touch the spread, but I do expect Alabama to roll pretty heavily.
Yeah, the only thing that I'll be really intrigued to watch in this game, I would like to see Alabama play the freshman quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa.
Good luck with that.
Tua. We'll just call him Tua. But Tua. Anyway, I'm really interested to see him hit the field. I want to see what his arm does. There's not going to be any kind of quarterback dispute, I don't think, in Alabama. But I don't know. If he lights it up with his arm, I think that's going to like kind of just continue his hype. So I sort of like the Tennessee game. I expect him to get in this game by the second half. So that'll be my main takeaway from this one.
And it could keep his name in the conversation, you know, down the road if Jalen Hurts were to struggle and, you know, people look back at the Fresno State game. Well, he threw for 400 yards, you know. Mm-hmm. So it will at least keep the hype train moving, I think, as you say. So, but yeah, as far as the game's concerned, Bama should roll.
All right, now this game is really interesting. I'm really excited to see this. This is going to be the first SEC on CBS game of the year. It's TCU at Arkansas, and I've got that as TCU is a 3.5-point favorite at this point. And I like TCU to win by 4. I got it TCU 31, Arkansas 27.
TCU definitely appears to have a better defense coming into this year. But at the same time, remember, week one, statistically it was great, but they were going up against the little sisters of the poor. So I will be interested to see this game, especially from Arkansas's perspective, because this is the kind of game, you touched on it earlier, if you're Arkansas, you really need this win because it can help catapult you into that Texas A&M game. I think it helps. At worst, Arkansas needs to split those games. Like last year, this was a battle, and I think Arkansas needs to get off on the right foot in this game. With it being in Fayetteville, I really feel like Arkansas will be the team to beat in this game, but they've got to start early against that defense.
So who are you picking to win?
I'm going to go with Arkansas. I think Arkansas should be able to get it done at home.
All right. Now, what about this game? Mississippi State, Louisiana Tech, we talked about it a little bit. Mississippi State's an 8-point favorite is what I have it as. And I may have bought in a little too much to their defense last week. They looked pretty dominant over Charleston Southern. But I'm going with Mississippi State 33, Louisiana Tech 20.
I'm glad you say that because that has ended up being one of my betting picks this week, because I kept looking at that line at 6.5, 7.5, and I'm thinking, you know what? That Mississippi State defense, Todd Grantham, I've been saying since the spring, Mike, I thought it was going to be a lot better. And you've got Louisiana Tech coming into this game with a new quarterback from last year. And the guy played pretty well in week one, but he's new. And this is obviously the first time he's going up against an SEC team. So even though they get the game at home, I could see it being pretty close for a half. But I like Mississippi State to pull away.
All right. Now this should be one of the highest scoring games of the, maybe even the season, but certainly the week. We got the first SEC game of the year, South Carolina at Missouri. And for some reason, Missouri is a 2.5-point favorite. I've got South Carolina winning outright 42-35.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one. And I'm not sure why Missouri is favored in this game, because, yes, it's at home. Yes, their offense, you know, set records last week, looked fantastic. The passing game with Drew Locke, the running game it looked fine. Demaryius Crockett, he ran for over 200 yards, but like you're playing Missouri State, you give up 43 points. They're not going to be able to put up those kind of numbers against a Will Muschamp defense. And with that over-under coming in at 74.5, Mike, I think that that might be one of my locks of the week. They're not going over that. I mean, I know the rule is to always bet the under or to never bet the under. That's what people tend to say, you know, but I just really think that this one's going to go under the 74.5. I like South Carolina to win too, probably by a touchdown. I see this being more of a 34-27 type game.
The only thing I can think on the spread, you know, some people are not quite as high on South Carolina coming into the year. I count myself in that discussion. You know, I was very impressed with their win over NC State. I just didn't think they could match up with that team, and clearly they did. But you know, that may have built up their public perception a bit too much. And you know, other people have been almost as high on Missouri. And you know, obviously their defense was pretty pathetic in the first half there against Missouri State, but they actually really turned it around in the second half. I believe they only allowed, I want to say, 7 points to Missouri State in the second half. So, you know, maybe they figured something out there. I don't know, but that's the only logical thing I can think there.
Yeah, I just can't trust it. Like, I mean, because we're still talking Missouri State, you know? Like,
Right.
I don't think that defense is gonna have. I don't think Mizzou's defense will have much of an answer for Jake Bentley, but I think that South Carolina's defense will have more of an answer for Drew Locke and company. So I think that will be the difference in the game. I think South Carolina ends up making a defensive play. And I think they win it by a touchdown. I do expect it to be a fairly close game, especially with it being on the road in the Columbia, in Missouri's Columbia, not Columbia, South Carolina. So I expect it to be a good game, but I like South Carolina by a touchdown here, and I'm definitely going with the under.
All right, the game you said this team has the most to win this week, Auburn at Clemson, and Clemson's currently a 5.5 point favorite. I've got Clemson winning and covering the spread. I think this is going to be a low scoring game. I like these defenses a lot, and I'm not sold on the offenses just yet. I like Clemson 20, Auburn 13.
I think I'm going to take Auburn in an upset here, and I never really thought I would say that, but I don't know that Clemson is going to be nearly as good this year without Deshaun Watson. And I think Auburn has the better quarterback coming into this game with Jarrett Stidham. Both of these teams going to have fantastic defenses. And like, I get it. I know, you know, both of them look good in week one because they're playing Georgia Southern and Kent State. But I think Auburn right now has a more reliable solution at quarterback with Stidham. And I think Auburn's running game, even though Kerryon Johnson probably not going to play in this game, I think that Auburn will be able to move the ball better on Clemson's defense than Clemson will be able to move the ball on Auburn's defense. Because you think back to last year, even with Deshaun Watson, I mean, they only scored, what, 19 points in this game? It was 19-15, I think.
1913.
19-13. I really, really like Auburn to pull off an upset in this game.
One thing I was concerned about with Auburn after watching the first week, though, I thought coming into the year they had the best kicker in the nation in Daniel Carlson, and he missed two kicks. Now, you know, that might just been he was just having an off day, but in a game like this with these two elite teams, I very well could come down to a missed kick, or essentially, you know, if he makes it, they win. If he misses, they lose. That's something to watch there. He needs to get his head right because if they don't need him in this one, they're going to need him in the SEC slate.
Yeah, and I think that you look at his numbers going back to last year, and I do think that he's pretty much proven that he's one of the best kickers in the country. So, like you said, maybe he had a bad day. I think maybe he did. I mean, maybe his, you know, he found out his girlfriend was I'm not going to speculate, but not gonna go there. But
maybe a bookie kidnapped his dog or something. You know, who knows?
Yeah. Let's call it that. You know, I think it was probably just a bad day. So I think he'll be fine. You're right, though. I mean, this game is probably going to come down to kickers or punters, or you know, it's going to be one of those games. I think that it's like a razor thin margin decided by special teams or one or two plays on defense or offense, a broken run, something like that. I just kind of have a feeling here that Auburn will get it done.
And yeah, who knows? There's a chance these two could meet in the playoff. You know, I could definitely see both teams winning their conference if things break right.
It could end up happening. I would be really interested to see that. I mean, these are two of college football's I don't know. I saw an article earlier talking something about the Blue Bloods. I don't know that you would call these teams Blue Bloods. Clemson's not. Auburn, I think, would be a little closer. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They're pretty similar. They're fringe top 10 programs, probably.
Now, for all the things we had to say about that game, I think I'm most excited to watch this last game, Georgia at Notre Dame. The spread is -4.5 in favor of Notre Dame, the home team. And I like Georgia covering, but I like Notre Dame to win outright. I like Notre Dame 28, Georgia 27. It's not often you get to see an SEC team travel this far away from home and especially go to Notre Dame. So I'm just really excited to watch this one.
I am also excited to watch this game because of the fact that it's Notre Dame and Georgia. It's, to me, it's name power more than anything. But I don't think either of these teams is nearly as good as Auburn and Clemson. And I guess that's why I have more of an interest in that game, because I think that the national implications are probably more prevalent in that game. But now this one, you could be right. I mean, we could end up finding out that Georgia is a legitimate contender to not just win the East, but to win the SEC. The talent certainly there. But like I said earlier, I just don't know, no matter what happens in this game, unless Georgia were to come out and just blow the doors off like 35-7 or something, I just don't know how much stock I'm going to put into this one because it's week 2. And because I have no reason to trust Notre Dame as being a legitimate opponent yet. So, coming off of a 4-8 season last year. So I do like it for the name power, but I don't know how much I'm going to put into it as far as expectations.
All right, let me ask you this. This is kind of outside, you know, just the score of the game and whatnot, but what percentage of the stadium do you expect to be red for Georgia?
That's an interesting question. I would say 30%. Mm-hmm. I think Georgia will travel pretty well in this game. I think that they will take up a pretty good majority. I think for a trip like that to South Bend, Indiana, I think if you could fill 30% of the stadium, I think that's a pretty good showing as an away team. So I'll put it at 30%.
Yeah, and I mean, I go back to Kirby Smart's first spring game. You know, it was. I don't know if they sold tickets or not, but it was capacity crowd. I mean, they even had people on the stairs coming into the stadium. It was overflowing. So, and from everything I've been told and seen, you know, this is the hottest ticket in the nation. Everyone, it seems like, from Georgia's headed up this way. And I think even people that may have been on the fence, you know, trying to get away from the hurricane may be on their way there. So I'm going to actually put it closer to 40%. I think there's going to be quite a bit of red.
Think Georgia will be buying up a lot of those tickets, huh?
I do, and I think that's what's driving up that price.
That could be a good point. If it ends up being almost 50-50 or something, it could have more of a bowl game feel to it, I guess. But I expect Notre Dame to have plenty of fans there. I mean, it's their home stadium. So, but you know how Notre Dame fans are. They're kind of, they come from everywhere. You know, it's not just people in Indiana. They come from all around. It's a Catholic thing, I guess. So, I don't know. I think it should be an interesting crowd. I'll be sure to keep an eye on that now.
Yeah, and I just, one last thing on that. I'm not well, you know, I'm not too sure. I don't follow Notre Dame that closely, but it doesn't seem like the fan base is completely bought into Brian Kelly anymore. So it'll be interesting to see if some of these people maybe have sold their tickets, or, you know, just have no desire. I wouldn't say no desire to go to this game, but maybe have more of a desire to pocket $500 a ticket, you know?
Or maybe some of them have just become Georgia fans. I mean, that could also be an option. So we'll see what happens. It was pretty interesting. I know you and I were talking about the video earlier, you know, where the guys just, the Georgia fans were heckling Brian Kelly during his coach's show. So,
and that crowd just seemed so put off. You know, they just seemed like a tight bunch who, you know, they didn't know who are these SEC hooligans. I heard someone in the video saying, you know, go home or whatever. Like, these people, they're not going anywhere. They've come to invade your town, whatever, and they're going to be there for 4 days probably, just drinking and getting ready for this game.
That's right. Welcome to the SEC, Notre Dame. This is who we are. Oh, man. Yeah. Well, that should be a fun one. The only thing, my only complaint this weekend is that the best games, I still can't get over this. I've been complaining about it all week. Georgia, Notre Dame's at 7:30. Auburn and Clemson's at 7. Ohio State, Oklahoma, which is not in the SEC, but a huge game. Mm-hmm. That one's at like 7:30. And then the USC Stanford game is what, that's at what, 8? I mean, all of these big games, like, I just wish, which I know why they don't do it. I mean, you're not going to put Ohio State and Oklahoma at noon. Mm-hmm. But I just wish they weren't all on at the same time. I'm going to have to, like, go somewhere that has multiple TVs, I guess.
Yeah, and I don't think you mentioned South Carolina, Missouri, but that's on at the same time as well. So
Yeah, exactly. That's not even one of the bigger games, but I really want to see it.
Yeah, I think that just kind of speaks to them not really caring about the fan experience so much, but the networks are more concerned with you know, the primetime slot. They can generate the most revenue. They get their marquee game, and that's where it goes. And there's no debating. You know, obviously, I think if each of these games maybe split out almost kind of like a March Madness format, to where they're an hour and a half apart from each other, you know, fans could essentially watch at least a half of each one. That'd be the way to do it. But I guess you're just never going to get the networks to agree to do all that.
Yeah, even if they were just a half hour split out, like, that way you could get it to the point to where you wouldn't be watching the very end of the game while another very end of the game is going on.
Right.
So, but I don't know. You know, I'm not going to complain. We got a lot of good football games this weekend, so that's just a minor discrepancy for me.
Yeah, but you're not the only one. I've seen that everywhere. It's not right for the fan, but I guess it's just right for their bottom line.
Yeah, well, that's all that matters. I hope they get nice and rich off this. I'll just I'll DVR them and watch them on Sunday, I guess. But anyway, that should be a fun weekend. Mike, anything else before we wrap things up here?
No, I'm just ready to get to it.
All right, my friend. Well, we will talk again once the weekend is over. And in our next episode, I imagine we will be predicting some betting lines once again for next week. So we'll see if that went as well as it did this week. Until then, this has been That SEC Podcast. For Michael Bratton, I'm Cody McClure. Enjoy the weekend of SEC football. Talk to you soon.